This morning is going to be a little bit different than we normally do. We're going to talk about missions this morning. We just came back on a missions trip. We also have some of our missionaries here from Kosovo, Nate and Miranda Troll, and they're going to give us a little bit of idea of what's been happening in Kosovo. Yay, look at you. Yay. Can you say yay? Say, yay! Yay! Yay, yay, yay.
Say yay!
Okay. Well, good morning.
Hello, hello. We are Nathan, Miranda, and Elena Troll. And we were sent out from this church last September, and we have been in the country of Kosovo since. And we just came here for a visit to see my brother Ellis get married. So, yay. And, yeah, so where is Kosovo? You see, east of Italy, north of Greece, they're in southeastern Europe. And we've been able to go there and do missions work and kind of get started with our life there. The church in Kosovo is very, very young. I mean, nearly all the believers haven't been followers of Jesus for more than 15 years. So all these churches are very, very, very new. And so there's much to do and much to learn. And so
So we've basically just been getting established there. We found a place to live. We've been getting to know our community and neighbors. We have a local butcher and a local baker, and we've been networking with the churches there. It's been so amazing. They've been so welcoming to us, and there everybody knows everybody, and so both in the church and out. So it's kind of funny. It's like if you walk by somebody on the street or you're in the same like restaurant as someone else that you have any kind of acquaintance with whatsoever, if you don't acknowledge them, it can be offensive. It's a very relational culture. And so when you're out and about, you're constantly like looking around. Like, it would be very rude here. But there, you're supposed to do it. You're constantly looking around to be like, do I know you? Because if I do, I need to say hi. And how are you? And how's your family? And how's your mother? And how's your brother? And how's your son? And list them all by name. And anyways, but it's fun. It's a very, very relational culture. So it's been fun to get established there. We're learning the language. We've got a tutor that we're meeting with a couple times a week because it's complicated. But we're learning, and everyone there has been very welcoming. And so we're working with an organization right now, like volunteering with them. It's called Lift Kosovo. And basically what they're doing right now is we're putting in... Say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Little shy. So right now we're putting in water wells that go in during the summer for needy families. We also distribute shoes to needy kids mostly, and there's also a scholarship program for girls to get good education, so which is not very common there. So we're really blessed to be working with them right now, volunteering there, and to be building relationships with the churches and communities. And yeah, so we're definitely getting established, and God has been good, and we miss you all so much. I'm here, and I'm like, I don't want to leave. But we know that God is doing good things, and we so appreciate your prayers and support and words of encouragement. Your prayers are vital. They help sustain us. So thank you for them. The culture is about 96% Muslim. So, there's very few believers. We live in a city of about 70,000, and there's about 200 believers in the city, and we're the most church city in the country. So there's not many believers. They need to know the love of Christ and the hope that Jesus provides. It's a desperate place economically, politically. People don't have a lot of hope, and so we know an eternal hope that is Jesus in spite of circumstance. And so please pray for us as we see God glorified in Kosovo.
So we've got some forks in the road to come to figure out exactly what God has planned for us. As some of you know, when you move to a different part of the world, there's always new things to figure out and new things that you didn't think you needed to learn or figure out and make some decisions. So we appreciate all of your prayers as we pursue things in ministry and pursue things as well as just how God wants us to minister to the community and just the nation at large and network with different people in the church, the kingdom of God, and as well as business and many other things. And so we'll be here, obviously, for this service in the back. This is actually our last Sunday here. I'll be at the men's retreat. And so please talk to us, share with us your thoughts, and we'll answer questions, and we'll be around. So I'll just end with Zoti Bukov, Fallam Deret Shum.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Well, thank you for being our missionaries in Kosovo. We appreciate that. You guys are awesome. CJ's going to talk to us a little bit about missions, kind of our missions pastor. He's going to give us just a quick overview of missions while the rest of the team that went to Ecuador is coming forward.
We at Living Faith Fellowship, we absolutely do believe and are actively engaged in missions. When a local church partners with God to do all that He wants them to do, then what happens is that we believe that the world gets an opportunity to become Jesus followers, discipled, and to make His name famous. Amen? So we're doing our part. And so I'm going to share some of the ministries that we are involved in as a church. It's what God's called us into. And so, like I said, when every local church does that, the world really will be reached. Check this out. As a local church body, we are involved in the following countries. Africa, two countries, Malawi and Uganda, Ecuador, Haiti, Italy, Kosovo, and Philippines. In each country, our partnership looks a little different, ranging from financial support to community transformation with construction, church planting, drilling of wells, solar panel implementations and interventions to leadership and pastoral conferences. We support the work of Bible translation into the Lenong language, which is located in northwest Burma. We have been sponsoring a Watoto child since he was 2 years old. His name is David Musiemi. He's now six. You can read his letters on our church's website as well, and he's communicating with us. We're involved in Operation Christmas Child. We've got Carpenter Series and Bible Foundation material literally being used all throughout the world. I can't even count the countries that it's going into because it crosses the borders so fast. And so today we get to share about Ecuador. This has been an amazing venture that is about an ongoing partnership. And so this team gets to share that story. So we're really excited to be here. We're really excited to make God's name famous amongst the nations.
So I want to take about 30 minutes and just describe what happened. You guys all sent us off on Wednesday. There was amazing prophecies that were over us as the team embarked and left. And those prophecies were spot on. It was a guiding force for us as we went through, and a number of folks will talk about those specific prophecies that we had. But a little overview of what happened. We went to Ecuador. Ecuador. We landed in Quito. We were at the equator there at Quito. We came down to Chimborazo, which is actually Pichancho, Riobamba. You can see it. Then we went to Salinas. So we started at Ecuador, or at Quito at the very, very top. That's where the equator goes through. You can actually see the dotted line that goes right through there. There's a line. I think the next one there shows it. Yeah, see, there's the line. So we knew we were on the equator by the line. I knew there was a line there. From the air, it's hard to see, but you can see it on the ground. So we had a great time, but we're going to talk to you about each of the things that happened at each of those spots. So it was neat. We got to see Amy there at Quito. She's doing absolutely wonderful. She's an amazing lady who's taken on an amazing administrative role that she has there, and a very influential gal there in the ministry there. And it was really neat connecting with her there. Nancy's going to talk to us a little bit about how did we get into Ecuador? How was that the thing that brought us? What were our connections that even allowed this trip to happen?
So Ecuador, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Phil and to Pastor Carey for going. They are amazing pastors, and they did an amazing job while we were down there, and I'll share just briefly as I finish up here. So Ecuador Medical Mission started in 2003, and I took my daughter there, and we met some American missionaries that we worked with. We worked with Ecuadorian doctors, and one of the people that worked with us was Katia Aguirre. And Kati had come from a very difficult traumatic background, had been on the streets and couch surfing basically, and she had come to know Jesus through a church in Quito and met these local missionaries and who eventually put her through school. She has her master's degree in hospitality and tourism. And as those American missionaries phased out of the ministry, she started One Heart Global Ministry. And One Heart Global Ministry is a non-denominational organization that their vision is to work with local pastors to build their churches and their communities. It's not that they come in and take over. They come in and support the local ministries. And they do that by bringing in short-term mission teams. So since 2003, I've been bringing in medical mission teams. And this was the first actual non-medical team that I worked with. And Chimborazo Province, which is where Riobamba is an interesting province. Cadi works with the Ecuadorian military, medical foundation, and the local pastors and villages. The non-Catholic churches all belong to an association. And every 5 years, they elect a pastor or a president of this. Well, Cadi's affiliated with this group. So every time she wants to do something, she has at her availability all the pastors in this entire province. So she is well connected to all the churches. And that is an amazing thing. That doesn't happen anywhere else. But it's where God has her. So the military keeps a list of the most needy villages, the places that need the help the most. So Cadi works with the military and with local pastors and leaders to choose the sites that our medical mission groups go into. For those of you who know Alexita, who's come to join our congregation, she has been the captain of that military group for a long time, and they're kind of like our National Guard. So there's someone else that does that now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when she's working today, so she wasn't able to be here. What we do is we take teams in that open doors. And I think, are you going to talk about Pastor Ricardo?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't talk about that. Cadi has favor with God and everywhere that she goes. She's an amazing young lady. Over the past 12 years, the changes that I've seen have been remarkable. The village that we worked in a few weeks ago, when I went to the, we were the first team in that village 3 years ago, and it was a desolate, malnourished, sick community, spiritually as well as physically. They had kicked God out of the community, and as we opened those doors for God to come back in, we've now seen huge changes in that community, both spiritually and naturally. They're building greenhouses. The children are now being fed vegetables. I didn't see any sick kids this time, which is really amazing. So the spiritual health and the natural health have significantly improved. The other thing I'd like to just take a minute to say about our pastors. So these are the first American pastors to come to Pachancho. These are the first American pastors to risk going 14,000 feet to these villages. No other American pastors have ever come up there. And the impact that they have now in Ecuador is nationwide. The materials that they brought, the teaching that they brought, will go throughout Ecuador. And I can't tell you the respect and admiration that I have for my pastors and how much I love and appreciate them. They have changed a nation, and it'll be exciting to watch over the next few years to see what God is going to do with all the things that they've done. Thank you.
Amen. That's my. Cadi is an amazing gal. Cadi got saved, I think, at 15, 16. She was living on the street, and at 16, she was in the park playing her guitar and leading people to Jesus. That's just kind of the gal she's been, and she's been doing that ever since. We first came to Pechancho. This is the Native Americans. They're up at 14,000 feet. We worked on building a church up there. You can imagine trying to breathe at 14,000 feet. It was like building a church on the top of Mount Rainier. I can't tell you how we would huff and puff, and we were wheeling concrete, we're pouring foundations, we're doing all of this. It was absolutely breathtaking, if you will. And it did. I could not believe how much I was breathing. This is a Mount Chimborazo in the background. It's 21,000 feet. It's the closest place, they say, to the moon because of where it's located. But we as we were working there with the Native Americans there, they're the same, there was a gal there, and we were working, we were mixing concrete, and we're doing all this, and there was a lady that had a baby strapped to her back, a two-year-old. I think we got a picture of it there, right? What? There you go. She's got this baby on her back, okay? I am huffing and puffing. She's moving. That lady outworked me working on the mud, and she had a baby strapped to her back. And I'll tell you what, my maleness was really threatened. I'm trying to keep up with her going, oh my God. And that lady was just moving, and she had a baby on her back. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm getting outworked by a lady with a baby on her back. So just try to work harder and harder and harder. And then, as we're working there, I don't know if you have the one there of Daniel. Daniel, this little boy. Okay, so I'm working with his mom, and she's got a baby on her back, and Daniel comes up here. He's 3 years old. He wanted that bucket filled of concrete. So I would fill the bucket up with a little bit of concrete. We're mixing concrete. I'd put it in there, and he wanted more. He wanted the whole bucket filled up, and he wouldn't quit till the whole bucket was filled up. That whole bucket's filled up, and then he would take it. He could barely lift it. And we had to kind of go up a hill. The next picture there, I think, shows him going up a hill. Next picture. Oh, okay. Well, next picture. We must be having difficulty. He had to climb up a hill. And the little guy would take the thing, he would pull it up like that, his little feet would go up to the next one, he'd go up to the next deal, his little feet would go up, he'd go up to the next part of the hill. It was tough getting outworked by a lady. It was really tough getting outworked by a three-year-old. And so both of these people were absolutely, they were incredible. His name was Daniel, he was an amazing little kid. He worked all day long carrying that concrete up and down that hill. I was absolutely amazed by the work ethic of the people there. Where am I at here? Oh, and then we met another little gal. Her name was Floor. She gave us a tour of the whole place up there, and she was a great little gal. She showed us the greenhouse. She showed us a bunch of stuff, and then they took us in this room where they have these computers. Now, these kids, I didn't think they had much at all, but they had a bunch of computers, and so she writes on this computer. She's writing down, and she writes on there, P-A-S-T-O-R, and I go, oh, Pastor, she knows English, and then Cuddy tells me, that's the same in Spanish, Anyway, so she starts writing there, and she's writing a bunch of stuff on there, and the poor little, the board wouldn't work, and so she was having a tough time writing all the letters there because it wasn't the best of equipment. But when she wrote it all out, I asked Katie, I go, what does it say? And she wrote this, Pastor, you are kind and very cute. And I thought, they're blind up there. The altitude is really tough, so it's very, very difficult up there.
And that's what we called him through the rest of the trip. We said, Pastor, Mr. Pastor, kind and very cute.
Yeah, I got that.
Inside team joke, but
I got that
we can
the
all
whole
call
way through.
That now.
But the people up there, it was amazing, building the church. It was Pastor Ricardo, I know he's back at the very beginning there. He's the pastor of the place there. He got booted out of the community because of his walk with the Lord. The community started going downhill a little bit, and the other community that he moved to started getting blessed, and so that community invited him back, and so he's back there, and he's building the church. And I have to say, these people work really, really hard. They do amazing things. They're hard workers. They love the kingdom. kingdom of God, and I'll tell you what, with very little, they do a lot to spread the kingdom. Carrie's going to talk about some of the things that she did there for the children that were there. There's Pastor Ricardo. There's his family. He has two sons as well, and their heart is to be in the ministry, and we got a chance to dedicate their church that they were building.
How many people here have already been to Ecuador? Can you stand if you've already been there for a missions trip in Ecuador? Wow, amazing. Amazing. I commend you because it's a lot of work and it's a long trip to get there. So it was a real privilege to get to go and see all that Nancy has done over the last over 10 years and the path that she's already set, and CJ has been there for several years already. It was just a privilege to go see the village that they've been there. It's definitely, we go on this very bumpy road to get there, and then we got out and we're at a construction site up in very high altitude.
Wind blowing all over the place.
And we get out of the car and the very first thing, it was extremely windy that day and cold, and we get out and within seconds our eyes, mouth, and nose are just filled with wind and dirt. We all get out of the car and we're just right the very first moment, within 10 seconds we're at
14,000 feet, trying to breathe, trying to see,
note to self, next group that comes, tell them to bring scarves, to put over your nose. I look out and everybody working has like scarves and over their mouth and nose to keep the dust out, and I thought that would have been really helpful. And then it calmed down and you get really used to it, within about 6 hours you're used to it and you figure it out and you realize, okay, now I understand. But wow, that first few moments was definitely interesting. I got to help move rocks for a few moments, and then they took me over to another building and I set up shop and I cut hair for 3 days straight in the village. And so I did, there's a before and after picture. I think I did in 3 days, I did 26 haircuts, so that was definitely a challenge. And
at first, they didn't want to come. They were worried about this lady, and then after the first kid got her haircut,
then they just lined up.
And what did you give them?
So I took bright neon-colored combs, and after every hair, I let them pick their color, and then they got to take that home, and I gave them bubble gum, and it was really fun, so they lined up, and I had to speak through an interpreter. That was the funniest thing, is there's a couple little boys, and I'm like, how do you want your haircut? And they wanted these like designer cuts out of New York, and I'm going, and I did them, and I'm like,
them.
How did you even hear about those? How do you even know that those haircuts? And I'm like, okay, if that's what you want, really, really shaved short on the sides, really long on top, and I'm going, how do you even know about those? But that's what I did.
It's seriously very primitive. What they live in, a little shack, and it's. You look at it, and you're absolutely amazed that they live in this, and the parents sleep over in this bed, and all six other kids sleep over in this bed.
And then there were girls with like 4 feet of hair, never had a cut, and all these long braids. Took forever to get the braids out, get it all combed out. Everything took forever to get their hair prepared to cut, finally get it prepared. How much do you want off? A centimeter. I'm like, seriously, my interpreter, explain to them how much a centimeter is. No, I want a centimeter off. I'm like, Are you kidding me? Okay, Lord, I'll cut a centimeter off their hair. So it was great. Then we got to join together on the last day there and do a church dedication ceremony, which was just powerful as we joined with the soldiers and the community and got to pray for them. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time to dedicate the church that they were working so hard to build, and all that rebars hand tied, and they dug the holes and they just worked so hard. It was just a total privilege to get to dedicate their building and the pastors and the mayor to the Lord, and for the work that they were doing there. And I would say, the one thing I was so excited to just come back and share with our congregation is that in Ecuador, the believers that we spent our time with there, I was so inspired because they do so much there with so little. They do so much. Cadi and her team, but also all the believers, they do so much with so little. And I just thought about home, and I thought, we do so little with so much. And I just felt inspired to come home and to really be challenged to do more with the so much that God has given us.
Amen.
And to really just dig deeper and to be good stewards of the just spiritual and natural and financial, just all that God has given us. To whom much is given, much is required. And God has given us so much to be able to give back to Him what He's given us and to use it for His kingdom. And so it was an incredibly inspiring time.
And a privilege.
Yes, a privilege.
CJ worked with the military, and he has a way of just, whoever he's with, he has a way of connecting. He's an amazing guy as our missions pastor that goes out there. He connects with people at the drop of a hat in absolutely amazing ways. He was really in his element as he was there and did some amazing things that happened there.
So we hit the ground running with construction, and this building was actually designed by an American engineer, which we didn't know that until we got there. And I looked down and I see these pillars that we're excavating, and I go, "Oh my gosh, that is a long way down." And they tell me it's American design, a North American design, because there's two Americans, right? So remember that.
I always said, "Hey, I'm from America," and they go,
"Yeah, so are we." So just remember that. That's a cultural sensitivity. So we did hit the ground running. The team was awesome. And we were panting, huffing, moving stuff, and working along with the soldiers. To me, that's just a big deal. Whoever we're working with, that we're working just as hard. And the whole team was amazing. You nearest got stories about that. But there's Laura Ty and Rebar. The team was awesome. And so with the ladies, see, the men are out in the field. The ladies do all the construction. So these ladies are running these huge mattocks, like pickaxe, and they're just breaking up the
with babies on their back. I mean,
with
it was like.
Their back, yeah, and so you know, yes, it's humbling,
and they weren't
but
even breathing hard.
No, they weren't breathing hard. And here's Pastor Phil and I going, "You want to take turns?
Hey, let's take a break."
No, I got this, Pastor Phil. Let's
take a break.
Anyways, it was fun. So that's one of the things we did as a church, the foundation of the church. And so, you know, and we're modeling along the way. I mean, we're all working with good morale, and the soldiers are there too. So we're having fun. I'd be, you know, digging, and I'd throw a whole load of dirt from my shovel on one of the soldiers. And then, you know, all that gets reciprocated. And so that's the fun that we're having.
And you don't have to have any language. You know, you don't need to talk. And the language barrier definitely transcended
it throwing does.
Stuff back
It does.
On
throwing dirt is a cultural language.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. It's like.
It really is.
You throw dirt.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yeah, we know how this goes.
Exactly. So this is the a brand new structure. This is the greenhouse. And this is really cool. So as Nancy said before, they didn't get much vegetables. So now what they're doing is they're implementing these greenhouses. This is a beta. They have actually got another one, this one right here that we went to. But this other one that we were building is much bigger. And from there, then they're going to teach every home within these villages how to grow their own greenhouses. So this is
how to make their own greenhouse and then grow their own vegetables.
And so exactly what he said. That's really cool. So I want to share a story real quick about the soldiers. And working alongside of these guys, it was a real privilege. They work hard. We worked hard. And so at the very last day, we took them all into a room, and I shared the story of Jesus with them. And I said, you know, we so appreciate you guys working alongside of you, but if we didn't tell you the story, the greatest story, then we really wouldn't be considered your friends at all. So I went and shared the gospel story with them, and four gave their life to the Lord, and that was really
special.
Four out
of ten gave their life to the Lord.
So all glory to God.
He did an awesome job, too, man. He shared
all glory to God.
He shared with them. He connected with them. It was really, I was really proud of them.
It was really cool. So, you know, God gave me strength to work alongside of them, and I would not give up my shovel, even though, you know, it's only like 4 feet high, the shovel. So, you know, you imagine those of you who work with shovels, it's like you got to bend over extra to do that. And I'm working alongside of 20-year-old soldiers who are active in military, and I go, "Oh, dear God, help me." And he did for his glory, to make his name famous.
Amen. Yanira has some things to share. Yanira is great because she could speak the language, and so she was always the person we'd go, "Hey, tell that man over there, tell that kid over there." So we always grab her to interpret for us.
Hi, I'm Yanira. So I was blessed with the opportunity to go on my first missions trip with this awesome, crazy group of people. I didn't really know what to expect, but it was really comforting to know that I knew the language, so it wouldn't be that bad. My first God story was when we went to Pachancho. I kind of got a little comfortable because I know Spanish But when we got to the village, it was a whole different language. So that was really hard for me to, you know, to go from being able to have everyone rely on me to just, I don't know what I'm doing. But I connected with the kids, and, you know, to the mothers in the village were so welcoming to me because I was a stranger, and the children just opened me, you know, openly were so awesome, and we connected with them. But the mothers showed me their love, and the culture is very different to the one in Ecuador. Ecuadorians love to just be so embraceful, and they'll kiss you, they'll kiss soldiers, they'll kiss their moms, they'll kiss everyone. And people in the village in Pachancho, you just drive an hour and 45 minutes up north, and they're kind of just restricted. But it was just crazy to see how I could just see their love, and that just broke, you know, through cultural barriers, and that was awesome for me to see that. God's love, you know, just through that. And another God story that I had was just being connected with a fellow translator and missionary, and that was a prophetic word that was spoken over our team, which was awesome to see be fulfilled because I didn't expect that. And we just shared such a connection. You know, we did devotionals.
Yeah, this is another translator that Kati had two other translators to help us. And this is, we called her Columbia because she was from Columbia, and because we couldn't always remember her name. So we just said, hey, Columbia, come over here.
Yeah. She was awesome.
Oh, we call her Chatty. Chatty 1 and Chatty 2. They just talk. We don't know what they're saying. They're just...
Yeah, and we language. Would, like, argue all the time because I'm Mexican and my Spanish is a lot different. And she'd be like, no, it's this way. And I'd be like, no, you're wrong. And she... Yeah, we'd argue a lot, but we loved each other, and we
even
did.
Even had name really tags, Chatty 1 and Chatty 2. It was.
So that bond and that prophecy got fulfilled. So that was super cool just to see God speak and just to have our awesome church say, you know, prophetic word and be used by God that way and just launch us off and have that be fulfilled and have God backing us up and our church backing us up. So that was awesome. So thank you guys.
It was awesome having you there. It was great. Laura, she tied a lot of rebar, let me tell you. She could work for any construction crew.
So when I got there, I was kind of expecting that I'll be, you know, carting wheelbarrows around or something that I know how to do. And I immediately got thrown into tying rebar. So that was kind of a cool experience, being taught how to do something when I couldn't understand them and they couldn't understand me. So we played a lot of charades, and I'd be like, bien, bien, you know, and they'd kind of go, you know. So they were very patient with me, but it was very neat and humbling at the same time, because I went in thinking, you know, I'm going to be, you know, this great help and I'm going to be able to do all this stuff. And so to have the experience of coming under them in service and being able to learn how to be a true servant and have them actually teach me how I can help them. So that was a pretty cool experience. And then also, I was just amazed at the people we met there. They are so committed to Jesus. They are so committed to what they're doing. And I was so challenged in my own commitments. And am I willing to go the length that they go to? Andriana, who was our cook, there was a picture of her earlier. She would make meals for all of us, for the military, for the team. So she's making meals for about 30 people in a small building made of cinder block with a dirt floor. And at the same time, she's making sure that all of our food is safe. And she was just the sweetest woman. I had the opportunity to help her with dishes just one afternoon. And after that, even though we couldn't understand each other, we just bonded. And it was such a cool experience to just be around her and see her sweet spirit and all the work that she put in, the effort. Another amazing person up in Pachancho was the local school teacher. She walks an hour and a half each way to teach the children. And I was just absolutely amazed by her level of commitment to those children. I mean, no matter what the weather is, hail, rain, she will walk that hour and a half to make sure she's dedicated to those children. So it was just an awesome experience to learn from other people, like Pastor Carey had mentioned, who have so little and yet they do so much. And I was so challenged in my own Christianity and my own love for people around them. And when I feel like, well, I've probably done enough to help this person, that I just think of those wonderful people I met in Pachancho and go, you know what? I can do more than that.
Amen. So. Amen. So we were at 13,500 feet in Pachancho. We were there for 3 days building the church and working on all of the stuff there, working on greenhouses. Then we traveled another 2 hours to Riobamba. We dropped from 13,500 to 9,000, so we could breathe a little bit easier anyway there. And then we did a seminar. We had a 3 days there that we did a seminar for the people there. We did the Carpenter series. We did it at the church at Pinal. The pastor there was really great. The church is its motto is transforming families face to face with God. It was a real privilege to be there. It was a real privilege to witness the hunger of these pastors and church people that were there. They were so hungry. They ate up everything. We had 9 hours of teaching on Carpenter series. Carrie did 4 hours of teaching on spiritual leadership. We put together a book for them that had fill in the blanks, all done in Spanish. All the people that translated this, there were so many people in our church that made this happen. I want to thank all of you. It was absolutely incredible. And if you would look at them, they were in this book and they would go through it. We're going through this material fast and they're writing in the fill in the blanks. And if one missed it or if it didn't happen, you would hear them all start to chatter and they're trying to get this thing filled out. It was so important. This little book that we spent time on and put together, just a piece of paper, was like gold to them. They just loved this thing and loved the material that they were getting, these pastors. And they were so hungry. We did one session on the Holy Spirit and asked, hey, all those who would like to get filled with the Holy Spirit, why don't you come forward? And I'm thinking, nobody's going to come. And I get ready to turn around. And all of a sudden, they pretty much all came forward to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It was absolutely incredible. I did one about if you abide in God and the word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done with you. And I use this little Russian doll. I've used it here before about that whole concept, and if that word is in you, then what comes out of you? And I keep pulling another doll and another doll and another doll out, talking about the power. They went berserk. Oh, they just went absolutely nuts. And every one of them came forward and took, we put the dolls all out there, and they all came and took pictures. A lot of these people don't have toothbrushes, but they have cell phones. Everyone there had a cell phone, even though they're way out in the middle of nowhere. And they all took pictures. They took pictures of it. They absolutely loved it. We gave them mustard seed. I was doing a message about mustard seed, about how small it was. Everybody wanted a little bit of mustard seed that they could put in their pocket as they left. They were absolutely incredible. I did the message about how you share your faith, about eating a Snickers bar. I sat in these little guys. They're very small. I mean, I'm very tall. I sat in their lap and I was eating this and they busted a gut laughing. They had an absolutely wonderful time as we presented this material to them. They absolutely loved it and they ate it up. One of the guys, Elnazo I believe is his name. When I got all done, he gave me this little note, and I didn't, it's all in Spanish. I had to have someone else decipher it for me. I had Cadi, and I think there's a picture of him up here. No, I got to talk about this one first. Oh, the kid with candy. I did an illustration about giving, about us giving, that God gives us, and it's not our money, it's God's, and he gives us all the candy that I gave him candy, and then I said to the person, God asks us for some candy back, and we say, no, this is my candy, and God, hey, God can take away every bit of candy you have, or he can give you so much candy you can't contain it all. And I had this little kid, and at the very end of the message, I was talking about, prove me that I'll pour out a blessing you can't contain it. I poured this whole big bag of candy over the top of this kid. It went all over him. I'm finished up the message. He picks it up and he gives it back to me. And I go, no, this is your candy. And I dump it back over him again. And I said, listen, you can do whatever you want with this candy. This is all your candy. Do whatever you want with it. And they were interpreting it. And I get back and then I find him picking it all up again. And he went row by row and he started giving it out to everybody that was in the session. And I thought, what a sweet kid. One of the guys, the guy that wrote me this note here, he says, God has given you wisdom and intelligence. Pastor Felipe, you are big in the kingdom of God. Don't stop visiting us. Thanks to the Lord for the teaching that has inspired me greatly. He's a youth pastor. I have not been able to give you a gift. I guess the culture is you give a gift or something to you. I have learned and I pay so much attention to the teachings. Thanks to the Lord. Thank you. May the Lord bless your family, your life, and your ministry. But he was absolutely incredible. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Great things happened. He was so on fire and was so excited about material he could go back and he could give to his kids, to the people in his congregation. It was absolutely, we were so blessed. We were so blessed. Pastor Yvonne, the pastor there of the church, he, you know, we're there for a day or two, and then they start with worship. Worship is crazy. It's wild. It goes on for a long time. And then he says into it, it's very loud. Yeah, if you think it's loud here, oh my gosh, we had to go to the, we were going like this. It was so loud. It was, it makes ours look like it was like
very quiet.
Very quiet, yes. It was a whisper. He begins to tell us this story, and he said, 10 years ago, I had this vision. I had this vision of this man, this very tall man from North America who came to our church and preached because God wanted us to receive of what he had. And then he turns to me and he said, you are that man. You fulfilled a vision for me that I had 10 years ago. And I'm going, no, I'm not that. I'm a nobody, dude. I'm... But it was, they were so hungry. They so wanted to receive teaching, and they ate it up. I'm not kidding you. Nobody's doubt sleeping. It's I can't believe how they went through all that, and they're just taking notes as fast as they possibly could. It was absolutely incredible, and we were so blessed. They got up at 3:15 and prayed from 3:15 in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning for the 3 days we had the conference. All of his pastors and all of his staff got up at 3:15 and prayed till 6 every day that we were there. And he said that normally he prays from 5 to 6. He's done that for 15 years. He was absolutely an incredible man. I asked him at the end to lay hands on me that I might receive an anointing like that from him. It was absolutely incredible. They begged us to please come back. And I'm guessing they took 400 pictures of us. I mean, it was like everybody wants a picture of you. And it was... It was absolutely incredible. Carrie has a thing talking about Pastor Yvonne, an incredible man, a sweetheart. Let me tell you what, in South America, they have different hinges in their body. Because that pastor, he could move in ways when worship would go and he would move, his whole body came undone and it went all over the place. It was absolutely incredible. I told him I'm from the wrong America.
It was precious because he was praying and we were praying for him and we started
praying. Prophecy over him.
Yeah, we were praying for him and Phil was praying for him and he just like crumbled in front of us and just went to his feet and just started weeping as we were praying for him and had a prophetic word for him and God shared it. Prophesied over him and the prophecy that I had over him, I thought it was a little strange, but I'm like, okay, well, whatever, Lord. And so I shared that in his prayer times that God was going to give him visions and they were going to be really clear that God was going to give him visions during his prayer times and that God was going to give him words of knowledge and that he would share those and people would be healed. And then the next day he was preaching kind of before we started preaching when he'd get up and share during the worship times. He'd kind of do these little messages. And
they weren't, quote, too little.
Yeah, they weren't too little. They were messages before our messages. And he shared how he used to, all the time, years ago, have God would speak to him in visions all the time, but that they'd stopped. And he hadn't had them for years and years, and that he was so excited that God
When she said about you'll have visions, oh my gosh, he started to weep like a baby and was so excited about having that anointing come back upon his
life.
Yeah,
so that was just really special that God had spoke that and that it was going to come back. And then there was this, during worship, they just are so wholehearted in their worship. And there was this one kid, an 11-year-old kid who was worshiping and it was like nobody was there in the whole room. And this kid was just totally connecting with God. It was precious. And God just totally started speaking to me about this child. And
he was lost. This kid had tears streaming down his face. And he is literally...
His eyes were closed. And he was just totally getting into worship. God spoke to Phil about him. And Phil called him up.
We had a prophecy over the kid.
And prophesied over him. And then I felt led in my heart that I'd... been speaking the spiritual leadership. Phil would do two Carpenter series, and then I would do a spiritual leadership, and then he'd do
the guy in the
spiritual.
Yellow is his dad up there. You can see his dad's into it
over
too.
On the left.
The other guy in the red there has a Zoo Crew shirt on. I don't know how he got that, but
anyway, so I felt led to take a spiritual leadership book that we actually got spiritual leadership in Spanish, and we gave it as a gift to the pastors. And
just the pastors. We couldn't get it to everybody.
Yeah, just the pastors and leaders. And I got the book, and I wrote in it to this kid. I found out his name. His name's Mateo, and I wrote it in, and I said, God is going to use you. Let no man despise your youth, and I want to hear from you. And I wrote my name and my address, and I said, I want you to contact me. My email. I want you to contact me in 5 or 10 years and tell me how the Lord has used you. And so I gave that to him, and then the last day that I was there, he came back to me, and he brought me Ecuadorian roses the last morning that we were there. It was so precious.
Oh, my gosh, and she just...
It was just so sweet. So I know that the Lord's going to use this child. He was just precious. It was a real privilege to be able to speak on spiritual leadership to these pastors and leaders. They loved it, and they ate it up, and the principles are so true, and it was just wonderful.
You should have
to
seen
see.
Carrie. She was doing amazing up there.
They
she
were
was
so
just
hungry.
Bam, 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 bam. I mean, it was good. You did great up there, honey.
So did you. It was a real privilege to be able to teach them. They were so hungry. I'll keep this.
Is Catherine's next? We just have a few more. We're getting closer.
All right. So this was fun for me. This was my first missions trip that I got to go on,
and thank God she was there because it, oh my gosh. Yes.
I got to do what I normally do here. So as they spoke, I got to do all their slides. And
how many slides per session did we have?
First, for Carpenter Series, we had upwards of 150 plus on some of them.
150 slides per session.
So that's an hour session. For here, for his typical Sunday message, it's usually about 40. And so 40 to 50 is typical. And then, so there to have that many and to have it in a different language.
It's in Spanish, so is it the right slide up?
So I'm sitting over here, so this is my little station
like
for,
it says in the slide
for three
here,
days.
I would say.
And thank God I had a translator next to me. And I would follow him along in English, but I had them numbered so that I could kind of follow along what I thought was right in Spanish.
That's our translator, the guy right next to him there. He's on Ecuador's Got Talent. He's in that, so he's one of the guys in it, and I can't tell you how far he's in it because
he's under contract.
He's under contract. He can't tell you how he's, but he was a really great guy.
Yeah, so he helped me stay on track, and if they missed a fill-in, I could see where they were at, and so I'd see them all start, you know, talking to each other. So then I'd have to tell Pastor Phil to slow down, or we need to stop, or Connie would be like, okay. So it was really fun. It was very, well, he skips a lot normally. And then you add that with, he's trying to get through so much teaching and so much scripture that we just started skipping the scriptures. They had their references.
They have them
and
in their
notes.
We had them in their books. So we
and
just
everything.
Said,
so we
book.
Just were going as fast as we could. And it was exciting. So that was really fun. So going into it, kind of knowing that was going to be kind of my role there, was kind of fun. It's kind of my little comfort. Like, I know what I'm doing here. But in going to, I fully expected God to kind of break my comfort zone, knowing that I'm very comfortable behind the scenes, behind doing whatever it needs to be done to make stuff happen. But when it came to time for to be the Holy Spirit to pray for everyone, you know, there's only 7 of us, and so we all...
And they're all coming forward, so...
Yeah, so we all are...
Find a person.
So we're all on, basically. And I literally just laid my hands on a gal, and she was slain in the spirit instantly. And I was kind of, I'm a very skeptical person when it comes to these kind of things. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And she laid there the whole time Pastor Phil was praying for everyone else. Mouth shut, not saying anything, eyes closed. She didn't open her eyes at all until he was done. And then, we kind of started praying for people that were having trouble and just trying to help everyone get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so she got up and I started praying for her and talking to her and stuff. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the next day, we did water baptism, and as they were having people share their testimony, found out she got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and water baptized in during this conference. And so it was just a privilege to be a part of that. When God takes you out of your comfort zone, it's kind of scary, but God uses you, and it was really cool. Steve Stone Prophecy on Wednesday said his first words were, know and understand, I am expanding your comfort zone. And it was just one of those, like, okay, God, I can do this, but scary at the same time.
She did awesome. She was amazing.
And then, and that included prophesying during water baptism, which that's a little scary for me too, but We did it. It was good. And then also in Steve Stone's prophecy on Wednesday night, he says, you will go and find people that you can speak as if you were born a twin with great, great vigor and passion and unity that you've never met before. So go with that expectation. Open your heart and open your mind and look for that one and that person that you were meant to meet, for they will be looking for you. And that person for me was Cotty. We connected. I've never gotten so close to someone so quickly. She and I are about the same age, involved in full-time ministry. And it was really cool to be able just to have a friend, to be in ministry alongside someone. And it's been fun. We've texted pretty much every day since we got back. And
she tells me, she goes, oh, Cotty sent some pictures. And I go, yesterday. And then so she pulls out her phone that has text messaging, and then she starts going down, 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 down. Literally, there's got to be 50 messages, and gets to yesterday. I go, that was yesterday. This is today? Holy cow, what do you guys do?
Yeah, so we've had lots of fun, and it was a privilege to be able to go. So.
It's really been a neat thing for both of them. Cotty also needs that, and it was really, really, really neat. Come.
Oh!
You now. He's going to talk about a couple of last points, and then we're going to go to Salinas, and we'll be done.
So from Carpenter Series, we did a couple of things. We did foot washing, so we modeled what that was like, and that was a very powerful time.
We washed the pastor's feet.
So we washed the pastor's feet, so Pastor
That's
Phil
a senior pastor
and
there.
Carrie and I, we all, Pastor Phil, Pastor Carrie, and I washed feet, and it was very, very powerful. And then after that,
they
did...
They were really taken by the fact that we would wash their feet. Not that they would wash ours, but we came from America teaching, giving, and all of that. And then to wash their feet, they were really smitten by that.
The privilege of missions that we have is that we don't believe that we are up here. We believe that our best place is at the foot level.
Amen.
And we model that no matter where we go in the nations, that's how we model. And, you know, it really does come from right here. And so our pastor models that. He's in the trenches in every area, and so is Pastor Kerry. So we modeled that. It was a privilege to be a part of that. And then the other thing we did is we did baptisms. They brought in a pool, and I would like to say that that was a heated pool. I'd like to say that this weather looks really warm, but it was freezing cold. And we're standing in an ice cold pool. I mean, there's ice cubes floating in there. You guys don't see them. There's really not.
And we did it just like we would do here.
Just like here, modeled the exact same way.
But we decided to have them all do their sharing their testimony while we were outside the pool. And then get inside the pool and
strategic.
Then start baptizing them.
Strategic. There you go. So this Pastor Ivan, man, he jumped right in the pool with us. They're hands-on. They wanted, what are you doing? How do you want to teach us? And there he is. He's right there in the pool with us. So we did baptisms. The team was awesome. They stepped right up. They had words. You know, here's Catherine, her first time ever prophesying. Laura as well, man, she's just spot on. And Nancy was kind of like our Steve Stone, you know, just boom, 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 boom. And it was just really cool to see a team engaged, to model to them.
I was so proud.
The way we do baptisms. It was really fun, and they were really touched. And then the pastor got a word. Right as soon as we're done, Pastor Phil and I are freezing. And
we're freezing.
He goes, okay. I've got this word. I just really feel like more people are supposed to get baptized.
Right now.
And I go, oh, dear Jesus. I said, cannot be the voice of the Lord.
I felt so carnal right then. I said, I don't have that word. I don't have that word. How about next Sunday? So, next Sunday, let's do the pool.
It was awesome. So anyways, then we got to baptize another person, didn't we?
Yeah, another lady. Another lady.
And then, anyways, to God be the glory. It was really
special.
So what
happens is, one more got baptized, and then we're going, okay, great. I think that's it. Good. And so I got out, and I got my shoes dried off, and my feet dried off, and put them in my shoes, and I'm walking that way. And
Hold on. This is the only time in my life I've ever wanted to be the senior pastor is right here.
Because then I got out, and I'm starting to walk away, and one lady goes, oh, me. So they're going like that with that one lady, and I look, and I'm always usually the first one to go in, and I look at CJ, and I go, CJ, go back in. So I got my shoes on.
I know, you had your shoes on. It took a long time to get them on.
You didn't have your shoes on yet.
Still sucking air
so
from the other
place. We get the lady in there. She didn't want to be baptized. She just wanted to have her feet put in the water. She thought, you know, hey, a point of contact because she was believing God for healing somewhere. And then, so we do that. And then CJ walks over to me and I'm outside the pool and he goes, take her.
Jeez, yes.
And so
yes.
I grab her. They dump her on.
Yes, I was anyway. So cold, my muscles were beginning to tighten up, and I'm holding this lady in the pool, and she's sliding out of my arms, and so I quickly go, Pastor Phil, go ahead and help me out on this. And but it was a real treat to model this for them, and thank you for praying. We felt that, and Shirley, I know Shirley Alvarez, if she's here, you did a great work on this.
Incredible.
Translating.
Yeah. Shirley, are you here? If you're here, stand up, Shirley. Are you here? I don't know if she's here or not.
I don't see her. She did a great job. Yanira did spiritual leadership, but there's a lot of work that went into this from the co-leaders as well, and it was gold over there.
Absolutely. It was absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, after we got all done and the pastors did all of their writing, and they said, please, there's about 30 pastors there. Carrie gave them all the spiritual leadership book, and then they said, please, can we have blank copies of this so we can do this with our church? And we said, absolutely. So we gave them each of them all another book. And we prayed for them. We prayed for their leaders. We brought their leaders up forward. We prayed for the senior pastors. We prayed for the leaders. We were very privileged. We went, we thought, to minister to them. And we got ministered back more than we ever ministered to them. Then the last couple of days, we went to Salinas. The Sodders, yeah. We saw Steve and Jane Sodder and their kids were there. We had a blast with them. We went out to eat breakfast for $1.80. We got a 3-egg omelet. It was absolutely incredible. For dinner, the 12 of us went out. It was $50 for dinner for 12 people. We had steak and chicken and corn on the cob. It was absolutely incredible how far a dollar goes there for food. Steve and Jane are doing very, very well. They gave us a card right afterwards, thanked us for coming down there and thanked us for all that we did. We took them out to dinner breakfast every day. We just had a great time. It was awesome. I think that missions is an important thing. I think that everyone should go on a missions trip at some point. I encourage all of you that are younger, man, in your younger years, go on a missions trip. It will literally change your life. It will transform it. You'll get an appreciation for how blessed we are in America, in North America here. It'll give you a burden for people who are hungry for the Lord. Hungry to have God touch them. Hungry to have their lives come in contact with a living God. Even they don't have with what we have. What they want is they want the presence of the living God in their lives. And you know what? We can each give that away to them. And it was absolutely a privilege. It was awesome. There's, I think Nancy's going to be going on the medical mission here in July, right? July 26th, she's going. We're also asking for clothing, right? Go ahead and ask for that.
Yeah, we'll be taking... Am I on?
Yeah.
We'll be taking warm winter clothing for children. It's very, very cold up there, as we can all attest to. Lots of wind. So if you have... As you're cleaning out your closets for the summer, if you have children's clothing that's warm, I'll have a bin out here that you can put clothes in.
Amen. We want to thank you for coming. And again, thank you for sending us. And I think we need to realize as a church that part of what we do is we minister here, but if all we do is minister here, there's something that happens when we give away to orphans, widows, those that are less fortunate, to the poor. When we do things like that, God looks down at us, and I think there's a blessing that comes. And so we need to always be involved in doing that. Get in. We do a mission trip usually twice a year. Get involved. Do something. Go at some point. It's worth it. It's worth it. It changes lives. And the best person's life it will change is your own. Father, we thank you for being so good. We thank you for being globally minded. We thank you for your heart for all the people of the world, Lord. And thank you for the little bit that we get to play. And the places you've given us partnerships with people that we can have influence, that we can help. We pray for them, Lord. For those who are in Malawi, Kosovo, Haiti, Ecuador. Those are in Italy. Father, all of our missionaries, we pray for them and we bless them, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege we have to see the kingdom of God as the whole world. You're awesome, God. We love you. We bless you. And we thank you for the privilege we get to be as ministers, to serve at your bidding, to touch people's lives. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. If you need prayer up here, come on up here. People will be happy to pray for you. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. And remember, men's retreat right over here. In 5 minutes, they're going to be starting right over here. So hop on over, guys. God bless you. You're dismissed.